Let's turn to Psalm 84. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and to swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee. You know, these trumpets of which our brother was speaking remind us of the order that God has established among his people. And when we turn to Numbers 16, we see that there were those who were not satisfied with their place and the order that God has established among God's people. Rebels arose. They thought higher of themselves as they ought to think. So that's a warning in the New Testament in Romans chapter 12. That we should not think higher of ourselves than we ought to think. That simply means that we should accept God's order and God's wisdom and be content with the place that God has given to us. And that is for our journey and our happiness as we walk through this scene here. But how sad that we have this awful incident there when Korah, Dothan and Abiram rose up in rebellion. You know, these trumpets were given to Moses. And in Moses we have, among the people of God, God's authority. You know, we have in Aaron the priesthood and that which was provided by God for them to help them through the wilderness. It was really the priesthood that help them to go through. And Korah was after Aaron's place, but I believe Dothan and Abiram were after Moses' place. You know, and when we read what they charge Moses and Aaron with, that's pretty much what has been made in this recent trouble. You know, these young rebels that have risen up were rebelling against those in rule and leadership. But how wonderful we find that in this sad case, which is a picture and a warning for all times for God's people, we find that the sons of Korah perished not. When Moses made that cry, "Depart from the tents of these wicked men," apparently they took side with God against their own father. They were made doorkeepers. They were given places of responsibility. And this psalm, read in that light, in that background, is most beautiful. And we can see what the house of God meant to these men, to these sons of Korah. How they valued the house of God. We might say how they valued the assembly. And how they counted themselves privileged to have a part in it all. They had no thoughts of rising up to a place not given to them of God. They were just marveling at God's provision for them and the place that God had given to them to draw nigh. They were occupied with the beauty of it all and with God's provision for them. And there was no place where they would rather be than there where God's altars were. The courts of the Lord. How wonderful. Now, this is what God can create, this desire that we see in the sons of Korah can also be a desire found in our hearts. You know, before the meeting this morning, one brother expressed what a wonderful moment that is to come into the presence of the Lord Jesus and to respond to his dying request. And you know, to really be there and consider the grace, the goodness of God that has brought us there. You know, there is no place on this earth that is as wonderful as the place where we can meet the Lord and where we can be occupied with all that he has done for us. But there is a most wonderful verse here in verse 3. The sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. You know, what does the sparrow speak of? The sparrow is a worthless bird. You know, the Lord himself says how many sparrows are sold for just a little money. And we are much more precious to God than sparrows. But they looked at themselves as worthless ones. But they had found a house. And the swallow speaks of a restless bird. Have you ever watched the swallows, how they dive and fly around? And you know, it's a picture of you and of me. We were worthless. We were restless. And when we really come to see God's provision of grace for us and that he has brought us to such a wonderful place, the assembly, where we can meet with the Lord of glory. You know, we don't go to church. We have a meeting with the Lord of glory. Do we really always have that before our souls, beloved saints of God? We don't see him, but he's there according to his word of promise. And our worthlessness, our restlessness, how shall I put it? We will cease to be restless and worthless creatures when we come into the presence of the Lord, when we see what he has done for us. You know, we have to be very careful that we do not show a restless character and nature. You know, by nature, that's what we are. But the Lord can give us to rest in his love, to be appreciative and to be at peace in our souls, to thank that he has brought us into such a place of blessing. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. That's what we did this morning. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, or the highways. In passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. You know, here in the first verses, we have the place of nearness, the place of blessing in the presence of God. And then, you might say, we face the world, the difficulties round about. But we come from a place of nearness. We come from a place where we have gained strength. We have found it in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Our strength is in Him. And in whose our heart are the highways. You know, the Lord will direct our path. He will open things up for us and enable us to go through this world for Him. And even when we experience that this world is a valley of tears, you know, the valley of Baca is really the valley of tears, where we have to face difficulties, He can make it a well. You know, even these experiences that we go through, which bring tears to our eyes, it is a source of blessing. We wouldn't want to miss these experiences that we make. As a young man, we, in our relationship, faced real difficulties and in connection with seeking to know the Lord's mind as to where He would want us to be. What's the truth of God? Open brethrenism, independency, or is it exclusive principles? And we had to go through some painful experiences, but how thankful I am today that the Lord led us in that way. Because as a young man, the Lord used these experiences to give us an appreciation for the truth of God. And so this is how it is, beloved, many times how God teaches us. But as we go through these experiences with Him, they become a source of blessing. And we wouldn't want to miss them for anything. They go from strength to strength. You know, not from weakness to weakness. But the Lord is our strength, and He helps us to go on an upward course instead of on a downward course, because we're in appreciation of the place into which He has brought us and that which He is to us in all these trials and difficulties that we face. They appear in Zion before God. You know, Zion speaks of grace and God's dealing with His own in grace. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. You know, it's a most wonderful thing to realize that God is the God of Jacob. When we think of the life and the inconsistencies in this man, Jacob, how he tried in the energy of the flesh, you might say, to obtain what God had promised, as if God would not promise or would not fulfill what He had promised. Yet God calls Himself the God of Jacob. You know, there was one thing in this man that all along showed that there was something of God in him, and that was that he valued the blessing. He was not a profane person as Esau. You know, what is profanity in the scriptures? Profanity is that he despised the blessing. He esteemed it little, the young people. Do you want to be a Jacob or do you want to be an Esau? Do you consider it a most wonderful blessing that you grow up in a Christian home, that the truth of God is presented to you from little on? I hope you will be a Jacob. I hope you will desire the blessing. God will take notice of that. I hope you have that desire in your heart. And you know, it's a wonderful thing. When we look at our lives, we have to confess that we have been many times a failure, just like that man Jacob. But God loves you and me. He is our God, and He is going to bless us. He has purposed us for blessing. As we know from the New Testament, in the Lord Jesus. But He would so much like to see what we have seen in Jacob, that he valued the blessing, that he desired it, and God would give it to him. You know, one has said, look at the end of the life of Jacob. You know, he worships. He ends his life as a worshiper. You know, God touched his hip and weakened his strength, and he had to lean on God, and we see that he has a most beautiful end. Someone has said, would be to God that our lives would be like the life of Solomon as a young man. You know, when he asked the Lord to give him wisdom, when we see a most beautiful spirit in that man, and when God tells him, I'll give you more than just what you ask for. I give you also what you have not asked for, riches and all of these things. And then to have a beginning like Solomon and to have an end like Jacob. You know, sometimes in our lives, we start like a house on fire, you know, but it's like a straw fire, and there is not this continuance, this persistent effort and desire to walk pleasing to the Lord. You know, and unfortunately, sometimes in our older years, we might give up what we have valued in our younger years. But the Lord is able to prevent that to happen in your and in my life, that we as young people already start out with a sincere desire to be pleasing to God and to receive wisdom from Him so that we might walk pleasing to Him, but then also to finish our life like Jacob, to be a worshiper. You know, he rested on that staff and he worshiped the Lord. God is the God of Jacob. I'm so glad that he calls himself a God of Jacob. He calls himself the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. My brother Ernie has made some comments in the readings about that. But how wonderful, when we think of Abraham, we think of the man of faith. Sure, the man of faith had failures and shortcomings and failed in faith at times. But what characterized him, that he was a man of faith. And we might understand more when we look at the life of this man that God calls himself the God of Abraham, but he calls himself also the God of Jacob. You know, if we don't start out in our life the way we see it demonstrated in Solomon, let's hope that the Lord gives grace that we at least finish like Jacob. You know, that we live in the enjoyment of the Lord Jesus, and that we are characterized by being a worshiper. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, occupied with the Lord Jesus. You know, he as much as is saying this, that I expect blessing because of the Lord Jesus, not because of ourselves. For a day in the courts, in thy courts, is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I believe that refers to what happened there in Numbers 16. And this is exactly the place that God gave to the sons of Korah. And, you know, I believe this is still a lesson for us that we should take heed to. If we fail in our faithfulness to God and to the Lord Jesus because of natural ties and relationships, we cannot expect that the Lord will use us as guides and leaders among God's people. You know, God picks those who are overseers, those who are elders, those who lead amongst the people of God, who have proven themselves faithful in their own families, in their own relationships. If we allow ourselves, because of our natural ties and relationships, to alter our principles, God cannot use us. I believe that's a very severe test that might confront us in our lives. You think it was easy for those sons of Korah to separate from their father? I'm sure it wasn't easy. But they were not guided by their natural affections. They were guided by the desire of being faithful to the Lord. And the Lord gives them a place of responsibility. They're doorkeepers in the house of God. They were content with the place that God had given them. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know, it's really a difficult thing, is it not, to have to do with people who you never know exactly whether you can take their words as a real thing, that they really express what they truly feel. But uprightness is what God is looking for, along many other things that he can look for in your and my life. And he will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. The Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusteth in thee. Well, I thought of this psalm as an encouragement for us. When we see, especially young families now growing up in the midst of the ruin and the confusion and turmoil among the people of God, the assembly is still the place where we, as it were, find shelter, where we can take our little ones, like where we who once were characterized by being restless, but we can lay our young there, bring them into the presence of the Lord Jesus. I'm so happy to see that the parents evidently realize that it is a good thing to bring their children early into the assembly. You know, and we who are older, sometimes maybe we are annoyed a little bit when these little ones make noise behind us or around us, but let's not discourage the parents from bringing the little ones into the presence of the Lord Jesus. It might be only a habitual thing for quite some time, but it is still a good habit to be formed. There never was a time in my growing up years that the thought ever crossed our minds that we were not going to go to meeting. You know, and they took us when we were a little older in Europe, I think the attitude is somewhat different as to bringing little ones into the meeting, but we were taken quite early. And listen, children, I know that it isn't always easy to be in the assembly and sit through those long hours. When I was a little boy, allow me to tell you that story, I was always sitting with my back to the clock, you know, and I was bored many times. I tell you honestly, I was bored. Not that I'm proud of that now, but I would make a game out of trying to see if I can turn around every 5 minutes to look at that clock, you know. But there came a time when certain things got stuck. And I still remember things that I heard there as a boy in the meeting. And it's a good habit to go to meeting. And the Lord Jesus knows as well as your older brothers and sisters that it isn't always easy to sit there, but He will reward if you faithfully obey your parents and go with them and open your ears. Make an effort to see if you can understand things. You know, you cannot be expected to understand everything that you hear in the meeting. I didn't either. It's impossible to expect that little ones hear everything. And it's impossible to present everything so that everybody can understand everything. It's impossible. But hopefully there will be something that you can get a hold of. And that will imprint itself on your mind. Maybe it is a verse of the scriptures that in the future God is going to use. You know, and what a wonderful thing it is to learn Bible verses. And then when the Lord finally wins your soul, you already have the Word of God in your mind. You know, when I was 17 years of age, I received assurance of salvation, but nobody had to tell me the stories in the Old Testament. I knew them. I grew up with them. And you know, I had a big jump ahead of those that were saved from the world that had probably never heard anything about the Bible. It's a good thing to come to the meetings. It's a good thing to come under the sound of the Word of God. And hopefully you will come to realize, dear young person, that the Lord Jesus is there. The reason why your parents are so anxious to go there themselves and why they are so anxious to take you there is because they know the Lord Jesus is there, and that is the most blessed place on earth. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. And they also know if there is any place in the world where you be brought into blessing, that is there, where He is present, and where He uses those whom He gives the gift to open the scriptures and to help us to enter into the things that He has for us. Oh, the assembly, the place where the Lord Jesus Himself dwells, and the place where we can draw nigh to Him in worship. What a place it is. May we never despise that place, and may we, when we get a little older and are saved, may we also be exercised to know what place the Lord has for us in the assembly. You know, I believe it's an important thing to realize that we are not just going there, we are not just passive, or shouldn't at least be passive in our attendance. We are there, if we're saved, as members of the body of Christ. And the Lord Jesus will make it clear to you where you can fit in, where you can be a source of blessing for others. Well, these sons of Korah sure should be an encouragement to all of us here that they valued the place where God dwelt in the midst of His people. There is no place like it on earth. There was no place like it on earth for man as the place that the Jewish people had in Jerusalem. There is no place like that on earth now where the Christians like the place where the Christians meet around the Lord Jesus. It's a source of blessing, and it's a place of safety. Remember, when that one that had fallen amongst the thieves and the Good Samaritan, he put him on his animal, his ass, and where did he take him? He took him to the inn, a picture of the assembly, and he was cared for there. But we who are older, beloved brethren, do we exercise that care? Do we take care of those that are brought there? Is it a place of blessing? Is it a place where they receive nourishment? Because the Lord, in His wisdom, has it arranged it in such a way that we are looked to as those who will be used of Him to bring blessing to others. So may we be like the sons of Korah, value these things, value the place, and also find that in our path through this world, He's giving us strength. You know, we don't have to be a failure. We can go from strength to strength. It's true, like we said during the readings, our life is many times like a roller coaster, up and down, and sometimes more down than up, but it doesn't have to be that way. The Lord Jesus is able to give us to live for Him, live in the enjoyment of that which He has given us, an enjoyment of the place to which He has brought us. There is a place, and that place is the place of His presence, where He is in the midst of us.